Hey,
Jake.
I know your name.
We're down a man this week.
No,
Jack. What a surprise.
Interesting, isn't it?
He's been here a lot more than I thought he would be this year, in fairness to him.
What's happened? Why is he not in this week? Oh, I do, but I want you to
tell me. He's a bit of a big wig on in the Channel 7 studios. Apparently, his dressing room's next to Peter Mitchell's.
PH.
PM.
That's Peter Hitchener. Wrong channel.
Yeah, wrong channel. Go on. And he's appeared on the front bar last week, Jackie. Real FaceTime, plenty of...
just in the crowd, or was he actually...
He was involved in a skit. And now all of a sudden he stopped coming up to our humble little podcast, doesn't show up anymore, and he's cracked the big time.
I notice he's not in tonight, so he's taken another avenue into sketch comedy.
Yeah, well, I mean... I stayed grounded when I had a reoccurring role on Neighbours for a little bit.
You did too.
Nothing changed about me.
Yeah, well, it changed a little bit. We tried to bring you down just a little bit after you know.
It was good for the show though.
It was good. Yeah, we got that Neighbour audience in, which
Neighbour audience.
Yeah, Neighbours.
We might as well talk about footy. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's get into it.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Benny, we're here. Another huge episode of The Magoos on the way. I have to thank everyone who got around last week's podcast with Big Tommy Bell. Got some really great feedback on that, some really good numbers as well, which is great for the podcast. So no time like the present to jump on for any potential sponsors out there. Slide into our DMs if that's the case. You've obviously got the Carlton Draft shirt there. I recently got a Carlton Draft air freshener for the car, the Patrick Cripps one, which I think gives me a bit of street cred, which is pretty cool.
I'm still yet to say a word in this podcast, but it's been a great...
Well, you're standing there nodding. You're nodding and pointing at things.
I just started pointing because I couldn't speak.
What have you got to say?
Thanks for being on the show again this week, Jake. And no, Tommy Bell was great last week. It was a really good podcast. Not much has changed this week in terms of in football. You know, Carlton are still shit. Essendon still
Carlton
shit.
Didn't play, so
yeah, but they're still no good. But we basically haven't. You know, it's the same as when we started this podcast over a year ago. It's still not much has changed there.
What we did have that sort of broke last week as we were podcasting was the Jaden Stevenson betting scandal. Now it's obviously been done to death at the moment, and he's got 10 weeks out of the game with another 12 suspended and a whopping fine. Can you believe the set of circumstances around that?
Well, no. I mean, when your name's Jaden and it's spelt the way it is.
How's he spelt?
You always do this to me. J-A-I-D-Y-N. Is that right?
I think
it's close enough.
It is close enough.
A couple of things just
I understood
together.
Your point, but it was...
Very silly. Very silly of him, but... it's probably hard for someone...
It's mind-boggling is what it
well,
is.
Well, probably it's a bit difficult for someone like that because your whole life growing up, you've been told, you know, back yourself. And then he went and literally backed himself and turns out it was against his contract.
Well, there you go. Good from Jeremy Howe, though. That's a big decision for him to make to, you know, be told about it and then to... Because, I mean, if in a year's time, Jaden Stevenson, it comes out that he's had 10, 15 multis on games he's playing, and if that becomes, you know, it was only three and one is bad, but if it comes out that it's become a habit that he's betting on his own games of football, then I reckon that might have been the end of his career. So I think that Jeremy Howe probably did him a solid there. And
Actually good at that, Collingwood, as well, in a hole. They're good at owning up and they're sort of just good at, committing crimes.
Well, no, reporting their crimes. I mean,
yeah, but
they
go about it the right way in terms of, like, just they're not as closed in as most clubs, and then it comes out later on and doesn't look very good. But no, it's very good.
Yeah, so... another weekend of footy, and so the media have moved on Brad Scott. They've sacked Brendan Bolton. They've turned their attention Alan Richardson, huge under the microscope, and John Worsfold not too far behind. You remember about a month ago I told you both of those would be sacked at the end of the by the end of the year.
I don't remember it, but...
Well, you've got to start listening back, Ben. Or at least listening while I'm talking
to
you.
I listen at the time. It'll just sometimes it's just, you know... 2-1.
So old mate Alan's in a bit of trouble, I think. The board have set him some very unrealistic expectations, and with the injuries they've had, there's no way he'll meet them, and I think that they are sharpening their knives down at Moorabbin.
Right, do you think they've also looked past that? Do you think that they've got someone to take over as soon as that happens?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, they've obviously got Brett Ratton in their wings there at St Kilda, but yeah, it's not really sure, I guess, if he steps straight. Is this like his grooming?
Yeah.
They're not necessarily... I think Brett Ratton's ready again to coach his own team, but are they grooming him to the group and those sort of things?
Does someone like Brett Ratton actually want to go through it? I've said this before, and it wasn't a couple of weeks ago. It's been a while, but you'd almost rather be an assistant coach in the AFL than a head coach.
Yeah, but I think that the money's a lot better.
Yeah, but if you're talking about security, you can do it for ages without getting too much attention on it.
But I think 1 year as a senior coach is probably 4 years as an assistant coach pay-wise. And I mean, No, these guys are like, they're competitors and they want to be the best in their field. And I mean, you'd also think that if it was something you were passionate about, you'd sort of want to right the wrong a little bit. Like, and I mean, coaches, how many coaches get to ride off into the sunset? Like, very few.
Yeah.
Without we'll
probably
getting
see Alistair Clarkson and
I think that
Kevin
you can,
Cheadie.
Kevin Cheadie. I think that you can, you know, once you've accepted that that's how it's going to end, and you know you can live with that, then I think you're always going to be looking for.
So, let's say Alan Richardson goes, which I don't know if he should or not. I think St Kilda, they're 6-7 at the moment.
Yeah.
They're not travelling too bad. Like,
yeah, they're not.
For their list. Yeah. And as you said, they've got a lot of injuries. Carlisle's out. They've got, you know, Dan Hannery just played his first game, which was a really good comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Why Brett Ratton? Obviously there's more internal things than you and I know. But the track record, not great in the head coach role.
Yeah, so this is Richardson's sixth year in the role. If they don't make finals this year, then they've never made finals. So I think it's interesting that it's taken them so long to work out that or still have the jury out.
Mm.
But I guess with no palpable improvement, I guess that's where the change or the need for change sort of comes from. And, you know, you start to get a bit nervous and you think, gee, are we on the right track? Are we going to lose players? Because, I mean, you've got to look at Jack Stephen. I think he's probably going to Geelong at the end of this year.
Right?
I think he'll probably be... And not that it's going to be a mass walkout at St Kilda.
Mm.
But, yeah, you just got to wonder if he's going to get the best out of the playing group. And I think that the way that the board set their lofty goals, I think that they thought if he achieves this, fantastic, but it's pretty unachievable. And
we'll
get someone else who...
You almost set the bar deliberately too high almost.
The grass is always greener, isn't it? It always seems to be greener.
Well, that's it. But sometimes I question, I know a lot of people question, but the actual board, where have they come up with this sort of like we have a... You know, Carlton did it. We have a 5-year plan. We have a 6-year plan. It's like based off what history is this plan? Are you just guys in suits who just put something on paper and therefore do it? It's like, okay, you take it in consideration. Like they might say, oh, Hawthorn did it in 6. Yeah, they're a destination club. There's so many other variables. St Kilda, not a destination club. Hard for them. It's really hard.
Very true. I guess that it just boils down to what you want to achieve. And I mean, 6 years is a long time because, you know, as we said last week, you know, the average playing career is what, or the average AFL list is for 4 years. You know, you're on the list for not long at all. So I think you've got to, you know, you need to work within timelines. And I mean, I think 6 years is long enough for someone to instill their vision and instill improvements. So I think that, Alan's obviously pushing uphill at the moment. But I mean, as we know in this Cape, you know, a couple of weeks, as you said, because they're 6-7, if they win a couple of games they're not expected to, they're right on the verge of the finals and have improved palpably. So it's early to sack him for mine, but they're starting to circle and we know what the media are like.
What about my boy Johnny Worsfold?
Boy, Wilshere's in a world of hurt, I reckon. He's in more trouble than Alan Richardson.
I'm seriously, in my opinion, jury's out for me. I don't know which way I lean. I get asked from people, you know, in my personal life and whatever, what do you think of it? And I haven't given it too much thought. I don't like the fact when things aren't going wrong playing-wise, we do not have a plan B, and that's just, that's not good enough. That's just the coach? Okay. Well,
I just think he's in
big
trouble.
We've decided, Johnny,
I think they'll go and try and find someone else, Essendon. I mean, they've got the list that, I mean, they can't miss the final. If the Bombs miss the finals this year, which I think they will.
Yeah, we certainly can. If we If we beat GWS on Thursday night,
yeah, that,
put it this way, if we lose on Thursday night, then I think you can shut out those hopes.
Yeah, I think if you don't make the finals, he'll get the sack. They'll move on from John Moore's fault as well, I think.
Say they do, I would still be happy with what he's done in terms of what he was the head of the ship at a time when we really needed it. He was great for that. He was awesome. But I don't see us... I mean, I don't see us winning a premiership anytime soon, but I don't see us progressing with John as much as he's had a great career... coaching.
Could be a bit outdated. But something that sort of has reared its head and then again and then has been knocked on the head and then, you know, you're not really sure who to believe is the Alistair Clarkson sort of rumours that he might be gettable.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Scully came out Tuesday afternoon and said that he'd address the elephant in the room, so to speak, in a tongue-in-cheek sort of manner, and that he wouldn't be leaving. But, you know, those jungle drums continue to beat. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That so becomes the Carlton. But... my red hot tip, as I told you several weeks ago, is that Brad Scott would be the coach of Carlton, and he's just creeped out from 275, I think he got into, at a $4 on Sportsbet. So, of course, gamble responsibly.
If you're a player, don't gamble at all.
Yeah, don't get. And if it's Brad Scott, don't bet on that.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to, Brad.
I mean, he might not.
Yeah, I mean, he would have a better idea than you and I.
Geez, if he knows.
But don't bet on yourself.
That's the sure thing.
So, just before we get stuck right into it, Benny, a little bit of light. Oh, it's not light. It was someone's serious opinion, but we can make light of it, as we often do. What do you reckon after goals? So we know the crowds have been edgy. You know, there's been a lot of people getting kicked out and getting in fights and stuff. So one journalist penned an article that suggested that perhaps we need dance breaks after each goal.
I think we need journalism breaks just as much as we need that. That's a shocking.
What's your jam? What
would my jam be?
After Tipper snaps one through, what song do you want to hear to just get up in the aisles and dance?
I'm too busy bloody seeing red to even look at if Tipper's kicking a goal. I'm bloody excited when he's up and about.
Seeing red doesn't mean excited.
Well, no, it's just the opposite. Oh, mate, fool. My blood boils when he kicks a goal. I just want to spit on people. No, anyway.
You're still using that wrong.
No, I know. It means you're more angry. Oh, I get okay, it. It was a bad thing to say. All right, Jake? All right, so. I'd go for something from one of those cheerleader movies like Fired Up or something like that. Something just get the crowd real going.
Yeah.
Get them real spiced up.
So dance breaks after goals, is it a yes or a no from you?
It's a huge no, and for one reason, the goal itself is much more exciting than the dancing, and you're there to watch the footy. I've always said the more things that happen in crowds in terms of crowd behaviour, flares, this sort of stuff, the more boring the game is. So I think the AFL are just in way too deep with this crowd nonsense. That spit was like, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it, but it's the only time it comes to light because it's the hot topic at the moment. Probably happens every other week.
I reckon if you spat on someone anywhere, it could be newsworthy if there was video of it.
If there's video of it?
You spit on... Do it tomorrow. Film yourself at the train station. On someone.
You filming?
Don't spit on me. Benny boy, back in now, and we've got Sammy's jumped in for a little bit of three-man weave, one of my favourite segments, of course.
Yeah, and for those playing at home, Sammy, of course, is... Sam's Media Sydney Watch.
Yes, from Sam's Media from Watch. Sam's Media Watch. We called the temp agency, got him back for tonight.
Yeah.
And he's gonna take.
I needed this, boys. I needed this.
You did need this. I saw you begging for money outside of Woolies earlier, and then you also said, "Can I come on the show?"
I'm all about the bottom line. So.
It's an unpaid gig, just for the record, those at home. So you can't see Sam if you're watching, but he's sitting below the camera there. So Sammy, get into three-man weave. We'll give you a couple of hot takes.
Alrighty, boys. Nick Blakey, the Lizard Man. Or just the Lizard. Where will he be in 2 years?
Playing for Sydney still?
Yes, definitely
playing for Sydney. Also, not an unpopular opinion, but I reckon he looks more like, hey, it's cool guy, if you remember that meme floating around a year or two ago. You know, like, hey, it's not cool guy. And he's just like... You know that one? You're not down with him?
No, I'm not down with the memes.
Who knows? Who knows, Jake? What do you think?
Bloody got unlimited potential, didn't he? And he was also the rising star this week. Thus, he's on the agenda. Actually, on New Year's Eve this year, walked across the bridge from Echuca to Moama with Nick Blakey.
You did?
Yeah, didn't know it was him at the time. He had been drafted. And, I gave him a cab card because he said that he had to keep walking 4 more kilometres. And now we just walked past our place. And I said, no worries, stretch. And gave that to him.
And which is crystallised is quite a rude thing to say to someone, anyone, but let alone someone who's gonna who's obviously earning more money than you already as an 18-year-old. So good for Nick Blakey. He's off and running and he's playing good footy. And he gets to sit next to Buddy every day. So.
Well, that's a great point. It wasn't the question, but I think that's a really good point. What was the lizard doing out at night there?
He was strolling across the bridge with not a worry in the world.
He would walk like this, wouldn't he, I reckon?
For those who are listening, Ben's just walking funny.
Yeah, just I reckon he's alright. But do you also think?
I think Stretch is a better end than Lizard. Yeah,
oh, I like Stretch. Put it to
him. Tell him whenever.
Should he take offence to that? No,
no, because he looks like he's been stretched.
It's better than Muscles.
G'day, Muscles. Yeah, that's insulting.
Yeah, that's real tongue-in-cheek, isn't it?
The first time I got called that under 12s, right?
Oh, really.
And
teacher at school used to call us Muscles.
The older I get, the more I realise that is just, you just do not call, if you're a grown man, you do not call a 12-year-old boy Muscles.
Like, hey, big fella. Well, no, I'm not big. No. Like,
It's like, for my age, but you know.
You're a bit of a basketball, but moving on.
Yeah. Oh, well, my point on Nick Blakey, though, was, do you think it's because of you? I think people, when their fathers play footy, they do have the limelight on just that little bit more. I think he's a gun, but.
Who's his dad?
John.
Sorry.
Never heard of him.
But where do you think he'll sit in the draft crop, lads, just before we. Because obviously, this will crystallise, I keep saying that. This will be a very, very good draft year coming out with obviously the main man, Sammy Walsh, leading the way. Any of other talented players around already making an impact? Do you think you'll sit around in 10 years' time? You think he'll be right?
Yeah, I reckon he could be because he's that tough matchup size-wise because he's very quick, but he's very tall as well. Mm. But then a couple of years in the off-season, you put on some muscle too. I think he can be really... I think he can have a great career.
I think he'll be a good number two to Sammy Walsh.
Walsh is quality. Alrighty, Sam Draper. Thoughts.
Well, don't go into too much detail.
Big Sammy D. For those at home, Sam Draper plays for VFL Essendon.
Yes, of course.
Hasn't played a single game yet. We picked him up rookie draft.
Rookie, was he?
I think he was the number one rookie draft 2 years ago.
There's big raps on the boy. He's hurt his knee. Yeah. And this would concern you, Ben. Let's say if he hadn't have done his ACL this year, he would already have had a taste of senior footy. And
I believe that.
Now the Saints have come knocking with a $1.7 million offer over 4 years to join them.
My beef is the way the media have said $1.7 million, and they forget to chuck in that over 4 years. I mean, what's the average footballer getting? $350? So they're offering him $100K over the average. Like, that's not...
Yeah, but what do you reckon he's on now if he's been rookie listed?
Oh, a lot less.
Yeah.
But it's not... It's like they're talking about on
every... Well, he's never played a game.
Well, he's obviously got potential. I mean, although with a knee reco, who knows? I'll probably bite my tongue in 10 years' time. I'd go for it if I was him. Yeah.
Franzini urges Draper to leave.
Yeah, he'll be on the back of the Herald
as well.
Yeah.
I'm just... No, as much as I'm a Bombers man, I'm also...
I don't know about
fairness and... You know, are you questioning my loyalty to the club?
Or if you want to do it, let's fucking do it then. No. Am I allowed to swear?
This has been... This year,
who won the 2003 best and fairest?
Jason Johnson.
Joe Messini.
Jeez, what's a Joe Messini? Oh,
Smoking Joe.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
Just say things with conviction.
McPhee won at 04, I do know that.
Best Dukes in the league at one stage, McPhee.
No, he's all Australian actually.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want the
all I'm saying is, like, you've got a short chance to make some coin in that business. They'll give you the flick if you get another knee reco. Put it that way.
It's true.
Not sure that's true. Moving on.
Alex Johnson, you know, but whatever. Can Port Adelaide beat anyone in the comp?
Anyone can beat anyone.
I wanted this on the agenda because Port Adelaide, as good as they are, they can be as bad as anyone.
Yeah.
But they are... I would hate to play them in a final. I reckon that the way they beat Geelong on the weekend was so ultra impressive, and then they can fluff around and look beatable, you know, look like Carlton could give them a touch up. So I think at their best, and if somehow they can bottle that and use it at will, they are a real sleeping giant of this competition.
You would hate to play them in a final, but I'd love to play in a final, period, to be honest with you. It's been a while. But I agree with you. I think not to bring it back to Essendon, but when they're both on, they're on, but then their worst is not great. Mm. You look at there's a big statistic about Collingwood not winning too many quarters recently since round six. They're about in the middle, but they're just getting those wins. Port Adelaide aren't. Like, they, you're right that they can, if they just flick a couple switches, they can be really good. But the consistency, I can't see them going far with the way that they've been doing it. But on top of that, there you go.
Oh, sorry. you actually made a really good point there, is that they could potentially do what the Bulldogs did a couple of years ago. You know, like, finish in that bottom part of the eight, but if they get into some touch and play some irresistible football for a month, then, and in a competition that looks like it's not really being necessarily dominated by a side, and Geelong lost them, and it would obviously be a different story if they were playing in Melbourne or down the Cattery. But yeah, I tend to get the feeling that Port Adelaide are one of those sides outside of that top four that we've sort of spoken about who looks like most likely to win the grand final. I think Port Adelaide, if one is going to emerge from the rest, they might be the ones.
I feel like you say these things with conviction that when one of them does happen, you go back to this episode and you go,
absolutely,
hey, I said it.
In this book here that I'm holding, there's all these notes that I've made, these sweeping.
It's rare, yeah. Because no one brings it back if you're wrong. No one cares. They go, no, I got it wrong.
Yeah. No one even listens. So.
Unless you're David King, everyone brings it up every week. Yeah. You're always getting it wrong.
Retweeting. Sammy.
Geelong, after the bye, 8 out of the last 10.
Have lost. Is that right?
After the bye.
That's right. It's 8. 8.
They're 0-8
8 and 0-8 after the bye has been introduced.
Yeah. When you say the bye, is that the mid-round bye or including before finals?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah, what? I asked 5 questions.
Well, is that something? Is that
They haven't won off a break in their last 8 games.
Does that need to be looked into, or is that just an anomaly? Something don't even pay attention to.
But hey, we're talking about a team that has been flying this season, and then they came out and dished up not
strange,
great.
Isn't it? There has to be something in it, but they're also, off the back of that stat, they are 7-0 the week after the bye.
Oh.
So they're good second up.
Oh,
back them this Friday night.
You should see them 4 weeks after the bye. They are tip top. No, they're about middle of the range, about 5-5.
Neither here nor there, because my stat is conclusive.
Yeah, I mean, stats, the thing about statistics, Jake, is that you can just sort of make them up, can't you?
Yeah, but that's not made up. They're 7-0 the week after the bye,
Well, 67% of facts are all made up.
The other thing about Geelong, though,
look at the grid, as if
that was the worst joke ever.
But I think Geelong do this every or a lot of years. It's not just the 0-8 part or the 7-0 after that week, but they tend to come out flying at the start of the year and then just slowly. I'm not going to say they're going to peter, but they do sort of drop off.
Wow, there you go.
They won't be in the granny this year.
Oh, there's your hot take. You make all these sweeping statements.
Oh, they'll lose in a prelim. They'll lose in a preliminary final.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose by 13 points.
To Essendon. And Joe's going to come back and kick 5.
Tribunal news. Michael Walters. McGovern. McGovern got done for a week. Walters off. What do you reckon?
Walters got off, did he? Well, this is filmed on Tuesday, by the way. It's breaking for us right now.
I can't believe
Here we go
that those results have gone the way. I can't believe Walters has got off. Like, as much as I was sort of torn, because Carlton played Freo this week, so I didn't want him to play, but just brought him into my super coach 2 weeks ago, and so wanted him to play.
Oh, okay, so you have a bias, is what you're saying.
No, I didn't, because I had 2 biases that were pulling me in either direction, so I was neutral.
Like when you tip against your team.
Yeah, if you take footy tipping that seriously, I guess. Yeah. I don't, because whatever. I'm no good at it.
So you reckon McGovern should have gotten off?
The fact that McGovern's got a week is... I mean, I know he hit your boy Guelphy, but...
He shouldn't have done it.
What did he do? Like,
whatever it was he did, he shouldn't have done it. Here's the thing. You've got to look after the player. No matter what happens,
yeah,
you've got the ball,
like,
you don't have the
him
ball.
As he was, so, like, he
look,
was
clearly
close to the boundary.
But he was
close to the boundary. But so do you think that he should have got away?
Look, you can never pinpoint, you can never prove someone's intent, but I reckon there was a little bit of deliberateness in that.
But he was still on the field. That's the so like it wasn't.
But you might be
field,
on the field,
the
but full momentum not
doesn't matter.
Going,
that's
well,
the field
clearly
the field.
Does matter if you're
no,
if
the
you're the top
field.
The what?
The field is the field.
No, but I don't know if the field is the field.
So there's not like a little restricted zone where it's like, well, don't push him because he's
near the fence. Don't bring up that. Now people are going to cotton on to this restricted zone and people are going to start going, let's bring in a restricted zone.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. So his only crime was that he was too close to the fence.
The worst thing that happened in the field McGovern is that Guelphy had to go to the hospital in a cab.
Yeah, I saw that.
He had to call it too, apparently, which is not
good. Yeah, to use his app.
But that is the only reason he's gotten a week, is because of Guelphy having to... He got injured, even though it looks like he might get up on Thursday evening as well.
It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
It is.
Sammy, you got any more for us, or what do you got?
Well, it's a free man wave. You haven't chimed in once over there.
No, I haven't. I'm all new to this, boy. So, you know, the banter, you could say, is a bit rusty. And I'm just listening. I'm observing, you know. So, on to the next one. Buddy, is he done?
Nah.
No, who said
that? That was me.
That's Cam.
He's just throwing him under the bus. Buddy
Franklin.
Cam's put the big line through him. No,
he's the playing version. Buddy's the playing version of Alistair Clarkson. Buddy's done.
I love Buddy. Yeah. I love Buddy.
It's just a hamstring, you know, for another 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5, and then he'll be back. He has to play his 300th game next up, so probably do it at the SCG and probably kick 7.
How good is it that we've been alive and of the age to be able to appreciate
how good is it to be alive?
Franklin? Yeah, how good is it to be alive?
I mean, it's one of those things that I think when you look back on, you sort of go, oh, we had it pretty good there and we criticised him a lot, or we expected a lot, but...
I never got to appreciate, like, Lloyd, for example, like, playing for Myanmar, but I never got to see, like, Dunst or these sort of guys at an age where you could appreciate it.
Yeah.
But, Buddy, you have been. It's actually been an incredible...
We've grown up with him, haven't we?
You have. You know, you've gone through the highs and the lows.
How great.
Sam? It's been great.
Opinions on Buddy.
Sure.
I love him. I think he cops a lot of flack for his personality. For some reason, I think people think he's a flog. I think he's a good guy, and I reckon this is a hot take.
Who's never met someone, so he's a good guy.
Good guy. That's not really a hot take. I say he's a fucking... Oh no, I better stop swearing. Anyway, I reckon he's given up. I don't know the stats on it. I reckon he's given up at least 100 goals in his career due to handballs.
Now that's a hot take.
Or if you run back the tape,
you're saying he's selfless.
You run back the tape. That dude has given up so many goals. Yeah, teamwork.
Like, dude, like, in a good way. Like, he didn't need to.
Yeah. Could have rolled around, snapped it.
Because, most of his highlights are obviously him kicking from outside 50, that sort of thing.
Look good when he rolls around.
Oh, they're great. What you're saying is he actually gets his players involved too. Is that what you...
Yeah.
There you go. That's stuff.
A bit of a hot take.
Sammy's done well over there on the three-man weave. Have you exhausted all your notes over there?
Unless you boys have got any tidbits you want to talk
about. No, I think my Stretch Blakey story was pretty spot on, so...
Okay, yeah. I reckon if Jake says it was spot on, then it was probably not bad.
Sammy, thanks for jumping behind the mic for us.
Oh, you're welcome, boys.
All right, Benny, come to the end of another show. Sammy's seen himself out, and we've been pretty good. Obviously... I reckon we're a bit like Geelong. You know, we had the big week last week. We had the guest. And then, you know, we're just maybe a little bit slow getting into the motions.
You say we're 1-8 after a big guest.
Doesn't matter, though, because this is after everyone's listened to the rest of the content. So this is not a pre-warning, so don't put this at the start, Cam. Right. It probably won't go too well. But your mob, you're actually returning to the footy. You said you wouldn't go until... crowd safety was was guaranteed. You and Joffa made a stand, and after so long, you've decided to go back. So good luck Thursday night. Hope you get rolled.
I appreciate that.
Currently going to go over west and dismantle Ross Lyon's mob. And
Freo in the west. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Carlton are no good off the bye too. Well, they're no good in general, but that's a different story.
Very clever. Everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure that you do like, subscribe and share and do all those fun things. Give us a rating on your podcast. I found out the other day we're on Spotify.
Are we?
Yep.
We're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Here I have been downloading it when I could just stream it on Spotify.
Hey.
All right. Well, good night, guys, I guess.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we've been wrapped up. He's got a plugged in microphone.
Good night, my good viewers.
Still wandering. Thank you very much for the viewers.